You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Vodcast Network. It's Hump Day, Jay Spence,
Hump Day.
Hump Day, hump that like wherever you are, whatever platform you are consuming this episode on. Please hump all over that like button, subscribe. We are Super Chat Live. If you're on YouTube with us right now, my name is Joe Miller, one of the hosts of the show, here with my always favorite dude, Jay Spence the King. Jay Spence the King.
What's up, man? I'm good. How are you, man?
I can't complain. It's funny because, like, after this weekend, like, there's folks in the room now that I actually know. So, like, Mark Johnson, who I think has been in the room a bunch, but I never really connected the dots that that's the Mark that I follow on Twitter that actually made the John Fina shirts. So it's it's interesting as the sphere continues.
You got to get out more. We got to get you out more, man.
you might not be wrong about that, but it was a fantastic weekend. So and the weekend started on Sunday, so there was a big get together at O'Neill's, which you were missed as always, but the usual crew, you knew, I'm sure you saw the picture, you knew all the usual suspects, and that was kind of a precursor. There was a bunch of people that flew in. And this part you do know about, for the first ever and hopefully annual inaugural Poncho's Army Golf Tournament. And it was done well. It was, I mean, legitimate, like, applause to Anthony. It escapes me that the dude that helped him put it on, like, I think his name's Jeff. I can't remember. Mark probably knows. But it was just well done. I got to take a picture with Mary Wilson. Terminator was in the house, which was cool. Like, the people that flew in for the event was amazing. Like, it was just, the vibe was great. I've always, it was at Springville Country Club. Tommy was the other guy. It was at Springville Country Club, which is a golf course that I've always wanted to play, and the course was gorgeous. Like, the greens were perfect, the tee boxes were flat and perfect, the course was just in phenomenal shape. I don't know, I haven't heard exactly how much money they've raised, but maybe, have you heard anything? Because I know you're kind of like one of the founding members of Poncho's Army, are you not?
Yeah, actually, I have to go ahead and close. I got to look at the site and close everything out for them so we can get the money going to the places it needs to go. But
right.
But well, I don't know the amount anyway. But what I will say is it sold out quick. And there were some donations, and like you mentioned, Anthony and Tommy did a great job putting it together. We had some great sponsors for it. It was just an amazing thing. I got to see online when, like, they gave the newer members, like, their jackets and stuff like that. Yep. So, you know, it's a good thing. Kudos to Anthony. I hope that they get to, like you said, do this every year. And I hope it becomes something that, you know, the year doesn't seem normal if we don't have it. Like, I hope that that's how it becomes.
Well, let's do two things. And this is completely unscripted. We did not plan on talking about this, and it literally just hit me when we came live. So first, tell us where all the money that was raised is going to.
Well, I believe there are several different things happening. So obviously, the families and the survivors from the Jefferson shooting at Taps, I know there was a food drive well. So a lot of that stuff is going there. But Poncho's Army does, throughout the year, they do a lot of things where they help people. Really, it's not even like a specific reason for help. If they find anybody in need for anything, they kind of do it. And Anthony is great when it comes to that stuff. So like you said, man, kudos to them. You know, I'm gonna text him real quick and see if he can hop in for a second.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be freaking fantastic. And then real quick, while you're doing that, if somebody wants to become a member of Pancho's Army. Is it I heard the word draft. Do you have to be invited in, or is it a situation where you can pledge? I don't know how that necessarily works. Like you pledge a fraternity. How does one, if somebody's interested in becoming, because Mark Johnson actually is one of the new members of Pancho's mm-hmm. Army. If somebody wants to become a member of Pancho's Army, how do they go about doing that?
I'm gonna be honest with you, man. I don't know, because he kind of like told me. Like I went over one day and he's like, here's your jacket. And I'm like, holy smokes, thanks. He's like, no, you're like one of the first members. And I was like, all right, thanks. So I don't know. I think what it comes down to, and he says this all the time, you just have to have a good heart and you have to want to help people. And you know, if you keep that going, then you know, that's just the community that Pancho's Army is. So I just text him. We'll see if he can jump on.
Yeah. And we'll delay a little bit longer while we're waiting before I move on. And to let us find out if he says yes or no. So Mookie Hawkins was there, which was great. The Babes were there, which was great. Zach was there from Trainwreck Sports. I got to play golf with Greg Vorse from Spectrum, the Spectrum Sports anchor. And he was an awesome dude. Like, we follow each other on Twitter and have for a long time, but we've never actually interacted at all. And that dude is about as down to earth and cool as they come. Like, I had a blast with that guy. He was just a ton of fun. I'm trying to think. Joe Kroom was there. There was just a whole bunch of just, it was a very much a who's who of Bill's Mafia. And then, you know, Alyssa O'Reilly flew in, Warlock flew in. Who else? There was a ton of people that, Denard flew in. There was just, it was overwhelming even to me to just kind of see the buy-in, like the level of buy-in, right? It was incredible. And I think there's a park bench is one of the things that's actually going to happen, right? Over on Jefferson, kind of a commemorative park bench or something like that. But yeah, it was a great event, and I'm looking forward to next year already. And I was hesitant about signing up just because I don't have anybody in this town to golf with.
Dude, I don't know what's going on with my headphones. I'm hearing like the test music, like when you try to trust it.
Oh, really? Well, I'll just keep going. I'll just keep rambling.
I'm gonna hop out, because honestly, like I hear you, but I hear the test, and it's just like going to loop.
I have weird. No clue. Yeah, so what I was saying about that, for those that are watching me live and us live, and those are that consuming this in podcast form. So I was hesitant about joining up first, just because I used to play a lot of golf when I lived in Columbus, Ohio. For those that don't know anything about Columbus, Ohio, it's super, super high up in the country as it pertains to just public courses and the quality of the courses. Buffalo, not so much. There's just not a lot of great courses here. I transitioned back to Buffalo back home in 2018, and I've played about four rounds of golf in 4 or 5 years. And I don't know anybody really that golfs. So it was like, well, I guess I'm going to sign up by myself. And I ended up doing that. And I'm glad I did. It was great. So how's the ears?
Now it's good. I don't know what just happened there. StreamYard is on something different today, but it's okay. It's all right.
I told you, when we logged in, I was not getting an audio meter. And that's when I was like, can you hear me? Like, is my microphone working?
Super weird. But yeah, so to what I heard, the course is beautiful. It was a beautiful course. And from what I hear, the staff there, the team there, everybody was amazing. Everybody had such a good time. And I, you know, I saw a ton of pictures. There was a ton of pictures. So, you know, like you mentioned, Mary was there, the wife of the founder of the Buffalo Bills. You had the Terminator, his wife. You had y'all so funny when y'all do stuff like that. The matriarch, like y'all so deep.
Sarah, I don't know if you're talking to me or Mark, but thank you. I'll take that one. I don't know. That might be to Mark, because I think Mark's birthday was yesterday or the day before, and mine was on what, Friday, Saturday? When was my birthday? I don't even know. I think it was Saturday.
Both of y'all old.
Touché. Before we get over to the topic of this show, which is to do our defensive roster projection for 2022. I was in, you want to read that?
I'm sorry. Joe was going to talk about the show and some other things real quick, but Mark is updating us on what's going on. Pancho's Army is having 10 benches made, one for each victim of the Buffalo shooting, and each bench will be personalized for each of the victims and placed accordingly around Buffalo for the families. I do know the one for Pearl Young is going to be in Central Park Plaza. And it's, you know, so that's where she, for a good portion of her life, she ran a pantry and gave food out to people who needed it, you know, and actually the church was over there for a long time as well, prior to them moving to Cheektowaga. So Central Park Plaza is where it's going to be. And I don't know about the other nine, but yeah, that's also part of what the money is going for.
Gotcha. And Chris Janke, this is, you don't come to Buffalo Rumblings for all your golf content. This is for all of your charity content. That's what we're about. Spence started early on with his show about highlighting charities, as does Colt Schroeder is real big on highlighting charities. I've had people on to highlight charities. So it's about charities. It's not necessarily about golf, but yes, that is awesome. So before we jump into the topic of the show, I was on a Spaces, literally a half hour ago, and it was a mess. I think Mark was in there too. The Spaces was put on by Brad Vesquio, I think is how you pronounce his last name, and by Lee Sean, so Warlock. They were the ones that put it on. It was Bill's Run the East was the name of the Spaces, and I'm going to give you some stuff. But it was Bill's Runs the East. There was a bunch of Jets fans in there, and one in particular that was losing his mind about how the Jets are going to not only sweep the AFC East or win the AFC East this year, but they're going to like be one of the best teams in football. I don't remember exactly what the, it looks like we might have a guest. I don't know exactly what his total outcome was, but he was going on and on and on just about effectively how good the Jets are going to be, all their acquisitions, all the rookies, all this stuff. He didn't once mention the fact that the Jets haven't beaten an AFC East team in the last 2 years. He didn't mention the fact that the Bills took their number one offensive weapon in Jamison Crowder. There was so much that he was talking about Robert Saleh and how Robert Saleh like is going to have this defense tuned in and ready to go. But meanwhile, you know, Josh Allen, when Saleh was in the night, was with the Niners, ate Saleh's lunch, like went into San Francisco, well, Arizona, but went into that game and destroyed Robert Saleh. It was comical at best. I don't know if you want to talk about that, what your thoughts on that real quick before we bring Anthony in, just to close that loop.
I mean,
Jets fans are just weird right now. Jets fans are legitimately, and it's not just him. I've seen him on Twitter. Like, they're weird.
Here's the thing. So they did. It is a fact that they had a very good draft.
Yes.
It is a fact that they had a very good offseason. They did a lot of things right. But the problem is when you're I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but you ever like overdraft your account by like a whole lot? And then you get your paycheck and you're still negative. That's the Jets. Like the Jets are like, they're so overdraft that even when they're getting their direct deposit this week, it doesn't matter. Like they still won't be close to us. They still won't be close to Miami. They have a lot to do. I want to talk about that, but before we'll get back to that. But I asked my man to jump in and talk about the phenomenal event. That's fine. But I asked him to come in and talk about the phenomenal event that happened earlier this week. My man, my brother, Mr. Anthony, Poncho's Army founder and just dope guy all around. What's going on, boss?
Man, I'm just blessed. I'll be honest, to see that many beautiful Bills Mafia people in one place, it's truly a blessing.
And they were dressed as such, too. I was surprised at some of the outfits on the golf course. I was like, all right, it's Sunday. Like, it's Sunday, like 1 o'clock.
They definitely came through and represented, that's for sure.
Yes, they did.
So there was a couple questions that were asked prior to you jumping on. The first one, I didn't have a good answer because I was kind of like, you just told me, which was okay. But how can someone become a member of Poncho's Army?
Oh, good.
To be honest with you guys, it's more of like a draft process, and it's just leading by example, being a good soldier. I mean, you definitely will get recognized. And as far as like members, like any member, like yourself, James, you can nominate somebody, and we don't overlook them. We got a lot of people that want to join. I mean, men and women. It's a beautiful thing when somebody wants to join on the same mission as we're trying to do collectively.
So if somebody wants to, we'll call it pledge, right? So you can't nominate yourself. How do they get recognized? How do they become guys or girls that hang
around?
Like
I said, right? Joe, like I said, leading by example, you know, getting out there and spreading the word and not a misguided message. I mean, we're all here trying to do the right thing. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to do this for persona, for Twitter likes and Twitter friends and Instagram and all this and that. I mean, just being a good person comes from just being a damn good person, man. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but I mean, we definitely don't, we see a lot of people out there. There's a lot of people that we definitely are. I wish we had enough jackets to give out, man. There's a ton of great souls out there, man. There's some beautiful people. Joe, you're one of them, man. I'm telling you right now, you are definitely Poncho's Army material, bro.
Well, I appreciate that. How did it start? How did the whole movement start? Let's talk about that real quick.
So when Ezra came to town, I think we were playing the Saints. Okay. My son was probably like 5 or 6 years old. We were walking into the stadium and my son just turned and looked at Ezra and said, "Oh my God, Dad, look at that luchador." And I'm like, "That ain't no luchador. That's Pancho Villa." And he's like, "Who's Pancho Villa?" And we walked over to him. And next thing you know, Pancho just picked him up. And like, as soon as he picked him up, like, I just saw the glow. I mean, this dude opened more than just my eyes. He opened up my heart, you know. And then my mom got sick. You know, my best friend fought in Fallujah. He's a veteran. And then Ezra got sick with cancer. And then my mom passed. And then before he passed, you know, we discussed, I just said, "Man," I go, "Ezra, man, I'm like, I love what you represent as a father, as a brother, as a human being." I go, "What can we do?" I was just getting into the super fan thing, you would like to say. Like, I'm not a super fan, so I'm just a fan of the Bills. I'm just trying to do better with what I got to work with. And with that being said, I was talking to him. I said, "What the hell?" I'm like, "Man," I'm like, I want to start a super fan thing. I want to do something." And he's like, "I don't know, man." I'm like, and then my son was like, "How about you start an army?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah." I'm like, "That'd be great to have an army of people that have the same mindset as Ezra Castro, Pancho Villa, and just try to make a change. Cause you know, I mean, like Pac said, the old way wasn't working. We need to be better to ourselves. We need to be better to other people." And I fell in love with it. And I go, "Mas," I go to Ezra. I go, "How about Pancho's army?" And Ezra was in the hospital at the time and he just starts crying. And I was talking to Veronica, AKA Ronnie. And she's like, "Anthony, he's crying." She's like, "I don't know." She's like, "This is crazy." She's like, "Why would you want to do that?" And I'm like, "Ezra's just a good soul, man. You could just see, you could see how many people he affected just by being himself." You know what I mean? Even his dying wishes was like to help somebody else. It's like, right. That's like the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, it's just, it's hard to grasp, you know, when you're blinded by such beauty. You know what I mean? It's something else. And it affected me. Like I said, it opened more than my eyes. It opened up my heart. And, you know, running into people like you, Joe, James, we might not look the same, but that man's my brother, dude. I will go to bat. I will go to war. I will do anything for that man. You know why? Because that dude's Pancho's army. And Pancho's army is something in the lines of, like, I want to be able to, like, we got Pancho's army in Alaska, Florida, North Carolina, Charlotte now with the Warlock. So, I mean, I'd like to have this thing stretch out to where, like, any member from Pancho's army can go there and be taken care of. Just like, you know, sort of like the Fight Club, but without the fighting.
First rule Fight Club. First rule Pancho's Army.
There is no Pancho's Army.
how many members are there in Pancho's Army right now?
I'll be honest with you. I got asked that question today. And I really got to sit down and like actually do the numbers, because there's so many people. Like, I think I'd say roughly around 30, including like Thurman Thomas, Jerry Hughes, Eric Wood. Who else? I mean, there's Lorenzo Alexander.
Allen has a jacket, right?
What's that?
Josh Allen has a jacket.
Yeah, Josh Allen. Yep.
How did you
White? I made one for Tre'Davious White. But like our real members, like our real diehard, you know, guys like them guys on the football field, they got a job to do. They got other things that they got to take care of. But like our main members, like Bill Nito, Iron Bill, Jay Spence the King, you know, I mean,
Mark Johnson.
We got Jim Ruther. He's a new member. Yep. We got Andrew Rydell. There's the Warlock, LaShawn German. There's Red from North Carolina. There's C Dubs, Craig. There's a lot of people, man. There's even a Canadian, Eric. He's a big fan. He loves what we do. I mean, it was overwhelming at first. It's like all these people want to join, and it's like, I'm like, it's great to see you. I love it. I love the fact that people are, they got the same mindset as me, and we're just trying to do, make some change. That's all.
You know what? I do want to say, and I know I've said this to you privately, but I do want to say, like, I'm super proud of you, man. So when prior to Pancho's Army becoming what it is now and what it's still kind of forming to be, Anthony was like absolutely adamant about not doing charity work. He was just like, no, I'm just a man trying to do good things. I'm a man behind a man, and he didn't want to do it.
Bro, you were on your first episode. I was on one of your first episodes. I said that shit. Yeah. I ain't looking for sure. I'm not looking for publicity, bro. I'm not here. I just want to make people smile and do what we can and try to, you know, make this world a better place. And James, I'll be honest with you, man. The day I met you at Duff's with my son, you had an aura with you, bro. Me and you, it was something else, man. I parked literally right next to this guy in a red Mercedes. What was it? What kind was that? What kind of car was that? That was a beautiful car.
Mine was black, but
no,
yeah,
it was that red. You had the red Mercedes.
No, I had a black GLA.
I can't remember.
I wish I had a red Mercedes. Next year, give me a year. I got you.
Nah, but anyhow, when I'm parked next to you, man, I was blown away by your beautifulness, man. You're a genuine guy, man. I could see why Joe loves you too, man. You're definitely like family, and people, you know. I look up to you, man. I'm so proud of you from where you came and like when you first started with all this stuff. And we started, you know, I was trying to help you out. We were helping each other. We do, you know, that's what family does. And that's, you know, like yeah. I said, I don't call it Bill's Mafia. I call it Bill's My Familia.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you saying that publicly too, because a lot of times people think it's fake. Like when you're online and, you know, the way I show love and the way I try to encourage people on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. But you know me enough to know, like, you see what we do when we're not on the internet. And the same thing that you're doing, man. Like, I appreciate you, and I appreciate everything that Pancho's Army is doing, and
thank you.
Everything that you guys did during the time, during the tragedy, and the way you reached out, the way that you were there for me and my family. And there were other things that I can speak about, but
you're my strong side, bro. You're my strong side, and you make me a better man. And I'm grateful for that. To be honest, man, you too, Joe, leaving. You ain't no chop liver though.
I appreciate you, dude.
For real. But like I said, awesome. With this tournament and stuff that we did a tremendous job. I can't stress enough how like Pancho's Army is nothing. I mean, nothing without amazing people, like the people that showed up and like yourself. I mean, I can't stress that enough. And we really did a great job. And the money that we raised, we have 10 individual unique benches that are going to be made with the people that suffered in Buffalo. We're having them, you know, scattered all over Western New York. We're trying to work with awesome. The families to see where we can put these benches. But like all the money that we raised, you know, that's amazing. You guys came through big time, and I'm so friggin' heartbroken and humbled that I know you people. You know, I mean, it's really heartwarming to know that there is amazing people out there.
It's true. It's very good. It's awesome.
Except the people that stole my mother and my grandmother's flowers at their cemetery. Damn it. How dare you? That's terrible. Who does that stuff?
It is terrible. That's terrible. Oh,
sweet
man.
Jesus. Like, I hope you get diarrhea from the mouth and the ass.
Yo.
Terrible. Who does that, right. James? I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm sorry. I just had to crack a joke about that because it was burning me up. This is not Yo. Once, but twice it happened.
That's awesome.
But I love you guys. Not Yo, awesome, but... I am just a Bills fan, man. And you guys really keep me up to date on the knowledge and everything with the Bills. And I really appreciate that because I am no analyst. I am I am definitely not. I'm only the Bills. I like the Bills, the Bisons, the Sabres, and anything Buffalo. So let's
you
keep 716
to the core. You 716 to the core. I feel it, man.
Absolutely.
I love you guys, so listen, man. But, I appreciate you guys.
Yeah, we love you.
God bless and go.
Yeah, I was gonna say thanks for coming in real quick, man. Love you. Enjoy your week and hey, let's keep this thing going. We've got to make sure that golf tournament is every year.
Oh, it's an annual joint, so let's make it happen, boys. Yes,
awesome, all right.
Love people, you, go Bills.
Go Bills.
Nice.
All right. So yeah, my man joined us real quick just to kind of catch up and talk a little bit about everything that's going on. But back to these Jets fans, because Mark, thank you. But yeah, back to these Jets fans. So yesterday on the Code of Conduct, actually in the comments, there were people making comments too, talking about like, the Jets are so much better than they were last year. They're gonna beat the Patriots out. So they didn't say they were gonna sweep the division or anything, but they said that it's gonna be like us, the Jets, then Miami, and then the Patriots. And it's like, everybody knows that I strongly encourage recreational legal marijuana usage. The thing is, I never get no stuff that makes me talk like that. So I need to know where they purchased that strain for. I need it. I need it. I need to be that type of high one day.
You need that in your life.
It'll help me sleep. I need to sleep. Give me that.
This dude was just unhinged. And so getting back to it, and I apologize for those that have jumped in since we started this conversation. It was based around a Spaces conversation on Twitter that was put on by Brad Veschio and the Warlock. And there was a Jets fan in there. And he was knowledgeable. He had stats for days. Like, he had good stats going back to like the 90s. One of the stats that he tried to use was that I don't remember when, but like they were the 30th ranked defense in the league, and then Bill Parcells came in and then they moved to 7. But he never really addressed the fact that, well, yeah, Bill Parcells just became your head coach, like a legend of legends from a defensive standpoint. The guy that taught Bill Belichick how to coach football became your head coach. And then he used the Rex Ryan narrative that they went from 17 to number one, and obviously Darrell Revis was in there. He had good stats. So in his mind, that was going to happen again this year, that because of Robert Saleh second year, that they're somehow going to move into the top 10 from 31, 32 to the top 10 in defense. And that was going to help propel them all the new weapons on offense, which there weren't many really great weapons. There's a bunch of rookies, right? Breece Hall's great. But there's really, TJ Uzama's good. How often have we seen a player break out on a team? This is a sad story that happens a lot in the NFL. And by a lot, I mean often. A player breaks out in his contract year, goes to another team, cashes the check, vanishes. Mm-hmm. How often have we heard that story?
It's been a lot. All the time. Even in for Bills fans, like, there's been guys that we've signed that, not recently, obviously, it seems like Brandon Bean kind of figured out a formula and it works, but we've had guys that we've been excited about to come here, and it's like, okay, this is exactly what we need for this, and this is exactly what we need for that. And then they either don't even make the roster or buried in a roster. So I just caution everybody to not, and I'm talking about Bills fans and everybody else too. It's the off season. We don't even have the 53 man yet. I know we're like doing projections and stuff, but some of your favorite guys might not even make your team.
Right. Where are you at? So what is your level of, not urgency, what is your level of concern? So for me, I'll go first. A lot of times I ask you the question, I have you go first. So it sounds like I'm interviewing you sometimes. And I don't mean for that to happen. This is just Bill's chat between the two of us, between two buddies. Level of concern. I'm concerned about the AFC West. However, I'm elated that we're not going to have to play every single team in the AFC West, right? We're going to see the number one team from the West, which I believe was the Chiefs last year. Mm-hmm. We're going to see probably one or two of them in the playoffs, one of those AFC West teams, but they're going to cannibalize themselves by and large. Nobody from the North concerns me, and we're playing the North this year. Is there any? I'll let you answer on your own. When it comes to the South, there's nobody in the South that concerns me. Matt Ryan going to the Colts. Am I worried about Jonathan Taylor? Yes, after what he did to us last year. Am I worried about Matt Ryan and Jonathan Taylor together? No, that to me is not some terrific, fantastic upgrade.
Man,
our division, though, is a little bit of an enigma. The Dolphins got better. The Jets, as much as it's ridiculous to think what those people are thinking, the Jets got better. The Patriots were a playoff team last year. Who knows where that's going to wash out? What is your level of concern for the Bills this year?
As far as our division, not much. I know everybody is feeling good about Miami, all those fans down there. I think what it comes down to is the same thing that they made us prove. I don't trust Tua. They didn't trust Josh Allen after those first 2 years until he actually did it, and he had to prove it two seasons in a row before he got that respect. I just think, honest to God, I think Tua has been robbed for his career because of those injuries, and I don't think he'll ever regain the form that everybody thought he could be. And that's not a hate thing coming from me. I actually, if you go back and search on Twitter and you search me and Tua, I would tell you, I actually wanted to see him succeed. You know, not to the point where they're beating the Bills, but, you know, I don't never want to wish for a horrible career for somebody.
Right,
I
right.
wanted Tua to do well. But I will tell you that Matt Ryan to the Colts, you're brushing that off. You got to remember, we almost lost to them with a way worse quarterback that's, you know, in the playoffs.
We got crushed by the Colts.
No, I'm not talking about last season. The season before, the playoffs, we almost lost to them with a quarterback who had no arm. Matt Ryan is a very good quarterback. The problem in Atlanta is not the same problem he's going to have here in with the Colts. The Colts have a very good offensive line. They have a very good, if not the best running back in the league, they have the second best running back in the league. I'm just saying, you might want to, I get it, but the AFC West, I'm with you there. I think they're going to beat each other up, but I do think whichever team comes out of there for the playoffs is going to be a tough team, just because the record will reflect a little bit less wins than others. I still think that they'll have the formula to kind of show up.
The best thing for the Buffalo Bills is the AFC West cannibalizing itself. The Bills are the potential and opportunity for the Buffalo Bills to win the number one seed this year, because the other like great teams in the AFC are in that West, and they're going to, they're all going to come out of there 50%. Win a game, lose a game to every team in the AFC West. They're all going to cannibalize each other, which is going to give the Bills an opportunity to kind of grab that number one seed in the AFC and have it, you know, have it basically the playoff, the road to the Super Bowl go through Buffalo, which is huge. I'm not casting off Matt Ryan. I just, the Colts don't scare me more. They beat us last year. So clearly I have a concern about the Colts. They beat us. I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure that the Bills can handle Jonathan Taylor even still. Right. So the Colts concern me, but it's not like I have greater concern because Matt Ryan is there. I mean, Carson Wentz gets dumped on a lot. You know, I don't know what's up with him. There's times when he's good. There's times when he's really bad. Was he better than Phillip Rivers? I don't know. Was it a wash? Probably. I don't think Phillip Rivers that year, that the game that you and I went to that year, I don't think Phillip Rivers was anything to write home about. Phillip Rivers wasn't anything to write home about his last three or four seasons. I mean, he was just noodle arming the ball out on the field. Right.
You're right.
I mean, so yeah, but
Matt Ryan is an upgrade over both of those guys. So even if it's not like a drastic, huge jump, like I'm not saying, okay, now they got Josh Allen or Aaron Rodgers, but when you have a team that's a run first with their defense is a lot better than most people will want to admit. They have a good defense, a good offensive line. So as long as Jonathan Taylor is controlling the clock, they're going to be in a lot of games. They're going to be in a lot of games.
Chris Jenke says that defense of the Colts and running game, along with aging Phillip Rivers, almost beat us in the playoffs. Colts will be good, better with Ryan at quarterback. Titans are one of those who will take a massive nosedive. It's true, but Matt Eberflus leaving that team is an issue, right? So I don't know who the defensive coordinator is from the Colts. Somebody can – oh, here we go. Somebody can probably look it up. We're going to have to change the name of this show. Somebody could probably look up who the if they hired from within or if they brought somebody from outside. If they brought somebody from outside, to me, all bets are off on that defense. Very rarely does a dude come in from the outside and keep the same level of production in year one. Now, if they bring a guy up from the inside, you know, there's a good chance that it'll work. But the defense, we'll see. So level of concern, I guess, is where I'm at. So you're probably where I am, I think, right? So am I concerned about the Colts? Sure. Am I concerned about the East? I'm a little bit, probably more than you are. Am I concerned about the West? I don't think I am.
The North I'm concerned about.
Really? Who?
I mean, well, it obviously depends on everything that happens. So if Deshaun Watson is not suspended, or if his suspension is not long enough to where it matters when we play him, Deshaun Watson is a very good quarterback. Like, before he sat the year out, he was a top five talent at the quarterback position. I know right now the world hates him because of the off-field stuff and because he's a creep and a dirtbag and blah, blah, blah. Yep. That is not Buffalo Rumbling's opinion. That is my opinion. But I know that that's how we feel. You know. But the thing is, when we're talking strictly football, Deshaun Watson is a guy that puts fear into the defense, any defense that he goes up against. He knows how to win. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson, I know we always want to say he's a running back. I'm gonna tell you what, Lamar Jackson he's a former MVP, and he's still the league. Still, as much as you want to talk about it, the league still hasn't figured him out. Last season, he was in the MVP conversation because half his team was on injured reserve, and he still was winning games. Like that's who Lamar Jackson is. Do I think that the Pittsburgh Steelers are gonna be like anybody to really be afraid of? No, but we lost to them last year with Ben Roethlisberger, and I think at this point of his career, Mitch Trubisky is better than Ben was for the last three seasons.
I agree.
100%. So I think Pittsburgh would take a step forward. And again, you have a great running game there with Najee Harris. You have weapons in Claypool, and I'm just cautioning people on that division. Yeah, and that's why I say Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati's going to make the playoffs. Not because they're not a good team. Like, yeah, they got Joe Burrow. I've been saying that for weeks. I've been saying that for weeks. Lamar Jackson and the first of all, the Ravens had, it was something ridiculous. Like I'll look it up right now so I have the exact number. It was like 23 or 24 people on injured reserve last year. That's not going to happen again. That's not happening.
What happens to the landscape of the NFL media if the Bengals don't make the playoffs? Because as much as it's been all Buffalo, by and large, since that Chiefs game ended, there's still always the counter, the rebut. Yeah, but the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. Yeah, but the Bengals went to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, right? Ja'Marr Chase. Like, the Bengals. So as much as it's the conversation has been the Bills in this offseason, and they have been the darlings of the NFL, they're 1A, 1B, 1A and a half has been the Bengals. The landscape of the media for the NFL, if the Bengals don't make it just turns back into them being the Bungles, right? If they miss.
Well, I want to show this real quick. So this is for the Ravens. Look at the red is all players who were on injured reserve.
We had years like that.
Right. Sure. Well, I mean, and that's fine, but I'm talking about for that division specifically right now. Like, you look at this, and Lamar Jackson was still an MVP consideration. The Ravens still sent the most players to the Pro Bowl. Like, this is what, so when you're talking about J.K. Dobbins being out, when you're talking about, you know, you can talk about so many other players and all this other stuff, but when you're really looking at that division, you have to consider the fact that Lamar Jackson is still there and he's healthy, and now so that's better. Yeah, like I mentioned about Pittsburgh. They're going to be better this year. They improved. And so I know Chris Jahnke is, you know, he just mentioned that they improved their offensive line, and that's great. I think that they should try to protect their quarterback after seeing how he was beat down last year. And then, you know, a couple seasons ago, he had his leg torn apart. I think they should do that. But the thing is, it's still their whole division improved completely. And last year, the Bengals barely were good. Like, they didn't dominate during the season. And then even in the playoffs, they scored in the entirety of the playoffs. They scored less touchdowns than Josh Allen did in the playoffs. So, I mean, I don't see how people are looking at that team like the Bengals are the business. Yeah, they were in the Super Bowl. They had bounces go their way in the playoffs and at the end of the season. Good for them. I applaud that city. I applaud that franchise. But come on. And everybody knows, and I get it, we lost, so I can't say if. But if those guys came into Western New York in January, there's no way that they were making it to the Super Bowl. Yep. Now, do I think we would have beat the Rams? That's different. I think that's a 50-50. I think the Rams were a great team. But them Bengals, man, come on. Miss me with that take. We would have dogged the Rams. We would have absolutely dogged the Bengals. The Bengals.
For sure.
Josh would have scored enough in the first quarter that would have made Joe Burrow running home, man. Are you kidding me?
Run to his Burrow?
Kidding me?
All right, let's transition this thing over. We're running out of time, so we've got about 20 minutes or so to go over our defensive roster projection for the 2022 season. And I'm going to let you drive. This is your projection. And you asked me before the show if I agreed with it, and I said yes. I think I said yes. But I think I told you I wanted to save kind of just some of my thoughts until we kind of went through it. So do you want to pull it up and just kind of give us what you're thinking?
Okay. So I think pretty much in most places, the team looks very similar to what it did last year. I think the biggest changes that we're going to see is obviously on the defensive tackles or just the defensive line in general. Von Miller is here. Shaq Lawson is back. Jordan Phillips is back. Daquan Jones and Tim Settle. Those guys are going to make all the world of difference for this team. And that's where you're going to see the most changes. But Ed Oliver, Boogie Basham, Groot, AJ Epenesa, those guys are still going to be doing what they do. They're going to get better this year. Linebacker position is going to look very similar. Andre Smith is out for 6 games with a suspension. So I do think that Bernard makes this team. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in Buffalo, so I haven't been able to go to any of the practices open to media. I haven't been able to see any of that stuff. But from all the reporting, and even after talking to, I had a couple guys on the show that kind of gave an opinion about how he looked. I had Terrell Dotson on a couple weeks ago on the code of conduct, and he said that Bernard looks good. So we'll see. Cornerbacks, I think obviously Trey is there. Kair is there. Dane. I think Cam Lewis is going to make this team. I absolutely think Cam Lewis is going to make this team. Teron Johnson, Saran Neal, and Christian Benford. Now, that's a little different because the way the team is normally configured, it looks a little different than this. I believe normally they go with 6 cornerbacks and they kind of figure out something else to do with like either linebackers or whatever. I just think with the suspension to Andre Smith, it actually provides a little bit of flexibility to keep certain people. If Andre Smith
and White's going to start the season on PUP, on PUP.
Correct. So same thing. So with both of those guys being out, you know, for whatever amount of time, it affords us the opportunity to have Christian Benford basically try out, you know, for the, you know, live during the season. Safety, I think that room looks exactly the same as last year. They need to figure out how to extend my guy, Jordan Poyer. Micah Hyde is back. Hamlin's back. Johnson's back. Special teams, the punt god is here. The punt god is here, ladies and gentlemen. Tyler Bass is back. And my man, Reed Ferguson, the snap master, is back. So I just don't see it really being any different. And honestly, this year wasn't even difficult. No, it wasn't even a difficult one.
It can become difficult. So I agree almost holistically with everything that you have here. And obviously, like you said, you know, Andre Smith being suspended is going to provide a roster spot. Trey White, more than likely, starting the season on the PUP, is going to provide a roster spot. You know, the safety situation is exactly the guys from last year. You know, the corners are going to be the corners. There's an opportunity for one extra guy to be there with Trey White being out. It could be, right? It could be Cam Lewis, which, why am I looking at this? Cam Lewis, I don't see Cam Lewis on this list.
He's right under Dane Jackson.
I got Teron Johnson under Dane Jackson. Am I looking at the wrong one?
Are you looking at the screen?
Did you make two? I'm not. I'm looking at the one you sent me earlier.
Okay. Oh, no, on the screen, yeah.
Gotcha. So it's going to provide an opportunity. So the question is when Trey White comes back, when Andre Smith comes back, who's cut? And I've got to follow. Well, actually, before that, let's start here. So the Buffalo Bills decide, going into what we talked about 2 weeks ago, that they're going to keep a surprise 2 wide receivers, hypothetically. They're keeping 2 wide receivers that were not expected to be kept. So you got to expect that one of the wide receivers that we believe is going to be kept could potentially go, right? And then it's got to be a defensive player. So who's the first defensive player, knowing that you've got 2 guys on your defense right now that aren't going to start the season with the team? How does that flesh out to you as far as if the Bills decide, you know what, we're going to keep Tavon Austin because we don't trust Isaiah McKenzie to return kicks or return punts or whatever? Total just hypothetical, just for the sake of this argument, just to have a body, Isaiah Hodgins returns to what they thought he was going to be his rookie season. He's healthy and we can't keep him off the field. He's going to make this roster. So you got 2 guys that are going to stick. Which one of your defensive players is going? And then I'm going to follow it up with, and then when those 2 guys come back, Andre Smith, Trey White, now we're talking about cutting 2 more guys.
Yeah, but I think what happens is I look at the offensive side of the ball. I think depending on how that whole thing comes out, I think Jalen at that point can be somebody that, as a tight end, that they say, you know what, we're going to throw you on the practice squad and protect you for a couple of weeks or whatever.
Right.
I think that's absolutely a possibility. I also think that looking at the offensive line, I know they typically carry a certain amount of people. I'm not sure. Like, and I said this last week or 2 weeks ago when we did it, I'm still not sure that Cody Ford makes this team.
That was the guy I was staring at when you started talking. That's the dude I stared at. Yep.
Yeah. So for me, depending on how that plays out. So if we do keep Hodges and we keep whoever, I think that's the way it goes. But I do want to say though, when it comes to the wide receiver room, even with Hodges and you're talking about all these other people, I also don't. I understand everybody's in love. Don't be surprised if Isaiah McKenzie's the odd man out.
It's interesting. I had a fun conversation on Monday. It's Wednesday. On Monday, in regards to the wide receiver room. To me, and we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the excitement around this preseason is that wide receiver room. And I don't want to give names, but there was people there that were having conversations, and there are people that know about this stuff. One of them said, if there's somebody that's the potential guy to miss or to lose his job, it's Isaiah McKenzie. Mm-hmm. The other person was dead set that the Buffalo Bills have a huge plan for Isaiah McKenzie, almost maybe possibly to be the number three wide receiver on this team this year. So he's going to not slide into the necessarily the slot, but be the number three guy, right? So, which is a huge role. Where I fall on that, and I'd love to know your opinion, we all love iMac. His smile, his charisma, who he is. He's one of us in the sense that he's small in stature but gets the job done. I mean, his persona is basically, as you called it with Anthony, 716. I mean, he's everything that we like. He's the underdog, right? That has potential and flashes and shows up when he shouldn't, against the Patriots or against the Dolphins or whatever. I believe that the Bills, for whatever reason, don't trust him as much as they do Gabriel Davis. And I know that's an easy name to throw out there. And I'm just going to say it this way. Gabriel Davis lost a ton of snaps last year to Emmanuel Sanders. Gabriel Davis balled out his rookie year, came into his second year. They brought in Emmanuel Sanders and to replace John Brown and gave Emmanuel Sanders all of his snaps and basically put Gabe Davis on the bench behind him until the end of the season. Isaiah McKenzie, when he fumbled the football a couple times on kick and punt returns, was a healthy scratch. It wasn't even a situation of, well, no, we're still going to use him on offense. They just sat his butt down. Oh, go over there, find the bench. And it wasn't as much as it was disciplinary. We can't trust you to return kicks at all. It wasn't disciplinary. Well, we can't trust you to be a wide receiver either. I think the trust factor behind the wide receiver piece is different than the kick returner, putt returner thing. I think there's just something to, I don't know. We've seen that. And I think the only thing that I was able to say that sort of made sense when I was in the middle of this conversation on Monday, you're talking about a staff that drives us crazy, you and me, Bills Mafia, because guys like Brian Winters play exceptionally well during the week, Monday to Thursday, know the playbook, do everything right in practice, everything that's expected. And it's not just Brian Winters. There's been many of them. They do all these things. And then they get in the game, and the dude collapses the entire right side of the offensive line for 5 or 6 games before they finally put Ike Bucker in. You're not working. You're doing great in practice. You're not working in the game. And I think there's something going on for Isaiah McKenzie in practice, right, that they just don't trust him. And that's a total theory. I could be completely wrong. No,
I'm with you. And shout out to Renaissance Man. He had this comment a couple of weeks ago where he says that he hopes that it's a situation where Daboll didn't trust him. And now he has a clean slate with Dorsey and will get more touches. He didn't score 8 touchdowns a few years ago by accident. And I rebutted that. But I rebutted that because I feel like we look at the season for that and we say he scored 8 touchdowns. He scored 3 of them against Miami that last week when Josh blew those guys out by halftime. So
right, I remember
that. I don't quite look at that. The amount of touchdowns to be a reason why he's that great. I think they used him properly that year. So he would have basically had 5 touchdowns that year and they used him properly. I think what happens with kind of what you're saying, there's a reason why the team don't really trust him. And, you know, because I tell you what, I don't care what it says. It could be Daboll saying, you know what, he's just not doing it. If Sean McDermott wanted that guy playing, guess who would be playing?
Oh, he'd be playing.
You know, and so – and I see a lot of comments like this. McKenzie will be there, and so will Austin. We'll keep 7 wide receivers. I tell you what, if we keep Austin, I definitely don't see us keeping McKenzie. And that's just the honest to God truth, because I think for certain guys on this team, McKenzie, Austin, hell, even Marquez Stevenson. I don't think he makes the team. Obviously, he wasn't on the list. The route that these guys have to making this team is special teams.
If what you just said lit up in me, Tavon Austin making this football team makes Isaiah McKenzie expendable and 100%. Provides an opportunity for a guy like Isaiah Hodgins, who the Bills want to see play football.
Bro, Isaiah Hodgins ain't making this roster, man.
I don't think so either. What I'm saying is it makes him expendable, Tavon Austin, because if they benched him before as a healthy scratch from making mistakes on special teams, mm-hmm. and it didn't keep him around for offense, if you're keeping a guy to return kicks and punts, it's going to play to me. This is the most exciting position group for all of training camp. Most exciting position group. I'm excited to see this position group.
Like, yeah. As far as cuts and all that stuff, it's the actual battle position, you know?
Yeah.
But I think obviously the top guys are there. Like, we know Diggs is there. We know Davis is there. We know Crowder, you know, we know those three guys are making a roster.
Right.
I just, to be honest with you, I don't think Austin makes it. I think that if another team doesn't see something in during preseason, then maybe some other team picks him up. If not, maybe he can fit on a practice squad. I kind of agree with what Chris Jenke just said there. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think Isaiah McKenzie, as much as we love him, it's turned into a love fest. It's not necessarily us being honest with our eyes and looking at everything that he can do as a wide receiver. I don't think and as Bills fans, we just do it. Like Christian Wade, we can go back to, you know.
Time out. I was thinking about him the other day and I forgot to Google it. Did he just vanish from the roster?
He retired.
He retired. I didn't see
that. He retired, yes.
I did not see
that. It was recent. It wasn't that long ago. But, yeah, he retired. And
I thought the Bills found a way to just slide him out of the franchise without anybody even knowing about it.
But that's but that's who we are as a fan base when you think about it. Like, we fall in love with somebody. And yeah, I get it. Yeah. For a long time when we weren't good, that's kind of all we had. All we had was, you know, the love fest for these guys because they were great people to be around the city when nobody wanted to be here and all that stuff. Now it's not the same way. Like, we're an it team.
Right.
Like, guys want to come here and play. So these guys are going to be fighting for these roster positions. And if Isaiah McKenzie brings the same stuff that he's brought, and I mean the stuff that made him healthy scratches or the stuff that made him lose his job on special teams, I don't see him doing it. Like, it's not happening. So
yeah. What's wild about what you just said, and that guys want to come here. And this is a very good argument, and it wasn't mine. And I can't give credit to who said it. The Bills get, this is the contrast. The Bills told Isaiah McKenzie twice, 2 years in a row, go find the best contract or the best deal you can.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up coming back to Buffalo for peanuts. Jamison Crowder should have gotten $12 million this year and came to Buffalo for like $1.5 or $2 million.
Yeah. Cause he wants to win.
He wants to catch footballs from Josh Allen.
Yeah. So again, the first part you just said there, though, that's what I think the fan base doesn't actually look at in that way. They look at it like Isaiah McKenzie's back. Yeah, he's here. They don't look at it like, well, the Bills said, all right, well, look, if you go find something, good luck, man. We wish you luck with your career.
Right, right.
That's literally what they said to him 2 years in a row. Hey, go try to find something. And, you know, if you think you find something better than what we want to offer you, then, you know, go ahead. Good luck. And he's like, no, I'll come back and play for candy because he didn't get what he, you know, like, and so it's like, again, as fans, we love him. Like, he's on, you know, America's Got Talent, and he's
awesome.
Awesome. Great personality. One of the funniest dudes, like, just an amazing guy. But when we're really talking about what they put on tape and what they put on the field, we got to be honest and say Isaiah McKenzie has been underwhelming as a Buffalo Bills player besides certain moments. You know, like the game against the Patriots last season. Yeah, it was a phenomenal game for him. He doesn't consistently do that every week. Why?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one last wrench that I'm going to throw at you that I want you to address as the hypothetical GM of the Buffalo Bills right here on the Humpty Hotline, Mr. J. Spencer King. Matt Araiza, 6th-round pick, is not cuttable because of the fact that they drafted him where they drafted him. However, he struggles in camp. holding the football. I guess the first question is what do you do? We've talked about a solution. It's not normal. But if Matt Araiza is like, you know, there is no, like he can't execute the holding of the football, and it takes Tyler Bass from a 90%, 95% guy down to, you know, 70, 75%. The struggles that we saw him have and we saw Mason Crosby have in Green Bay with Corey Bohorquez. Hashtag Boho Mojo. I had to get in there. Sorry. Where are you at? What is your move if Matt Araiza, not cutting him because he's crushing the football, but he can't hold?
I mean, hell, let's go back to the 90s and have your second quarterback hold the ball. Like, I don't care.
With the CBA, they can't. They only get so much time to practice. There's only so much time. So the reason that changed was because of the CBA and the requirements, and they're only allowed to be on the field, practice field, for so long. So every minute that he's away from them holding is time that he doesn't get to spend with the scout team or with the offense. So that's why I learned that. I think Perino told me that. Somebody told me that.
Because he can practice somewhere else. You know, he could do that. Honestly, I'm not being funny when I say this. I think we show concern about stuff that's not actually a concern. Like, I don't think he's going to struggle here. So I think, you know, I think
I'm just hypothetical, bro. I'm just throwing.
No, I feel you, but I'm saying, and I'm not saying it like you like that. What I mean is, as a fan, because you go on Twitter and you like just scroll whenever the punt game comes up, and everybody, well, can he hold? Can he hold? Can he hold? These guys are professional athletes, man. They'll figure this out. Like,
that is what Reed Ferguson said. We'll adjust. Reed Ferguson said we will absolutely adjust.
Yeah,
if we have to. Yeah, I mean, it's they're absolutely 100% professional athletes. However, he's never held in his life. So that's like asking you, you played sports in high school. I mean, holding can't be that difficult. Could you imagine holding at the NFL level when you've never done it before ever?
I could. I can't say I would be confident at it, but no, I mean, it's one of those things where, honestly, man, I think we really look at certain tasks and we like, make and it's good because that means that the Bills are so good everywhere else that, like, when your biggest concern is, oh my God, can he hold for kicks? Like, when that's your biggest concern, we're pretty good.
But you're also worried about your kicker because if Tyler Bass, if Matt Araiza comes in and he holds similar to Corey Bohorquez and Tyler Bass's numbers go down and he misses some winning field goals, we're actually flaming Tyler Bass at that point. And not the holder, because that's what we saw with Corey Bohorquez. People still can't figure out why Corey Bohorquez is gone. And the reason he's gone is because he sucked as a holder. Jessica Tennis says, I love this. This is actually very chessy, right? She says, punt god. So Matt Araiza goes on IR and Hawk will get cut and re-signed and start the season as our punter if that happens. So what she's saying is that if he can't hold Matt Araiza, that basically the Bills will, he's got a foot injury and they'll stash him on the IR for 8 weeks until he figures it out. Right? I mean, that's probably what happens.
I don't think it's that deep. I think we start the season with punt god. You know, like I just don't think it's that deep.
When you have an automatic roster, I've got to bring something up.
Because and it's in the comments, so I get it. But like I said, I don't some of these things I just think that, you know, like we make major deals out of, you know, like Sean McDermott has one comment and we're like, oh my God, he brought it up. It's a major concern. And he's like just doing coach talk. So I do think out of all of this conversation, the one main conversation to have is the one that you absolutely brought up about the wide receivers. Yeah. I really think McKenzie is, I'm not saying he's getting cut. I would like to see him make it and thrive. But I think if we're talking about anybody who was on the team prior, as a wide receiver who might not be here, I think that's the guy that you're looking at. Because again, he didn't sign a major, you know, he didn't get signed for what, $6 million a year or $10 million as a wide receiver. So for me to think that he had healthy scratches last year, he was benched as the punt and the kick returner, and he was barely used when he was active on offense besides maybe a couple of games. It's hard pressed for me to believe that he's going to be the third receiver. And that's not because I want him to prove me wrong. I would like Isaiah Hodgins to prove me wrong. I said earlier on the broadcast, he ain't making his roster. Prove me wrong. Like,
for sure.
You know, do it. But I just don't see it. I think, you know, we drafted a rookie this year in the fifth round that probably should have been really, if you look at his tape, he could have been a third or a second round pick. Mm-hmm. So it's shocking that he was there. I think that the Buffalo Bills are absolutely stacked again. I think we are stacked. So I don't know. It's going to be hard for a bunch of these guys to make the team.
Awesome. Well, that was the roster projection for 2022 from a defensive standpoint, and we touched the offense a little bit. Coming up for Jay Spencer King and myself with Buffalo Rumbling. So this is going to be the last show for the Hump Day Hotline until training camp starts. So we're going to take a little bit of a break here through the summer, through the dry time, because it is a it's not impossible. It's a difficult task to come up with content in the month of July. And frankly, we need a break. I have Jerry Orosky on the show Sunday night, former Buffalo Bills offensive lineman. And then I'll be taking a break from the Overreaction show. And I don't know. I don't want to speak for you. What are your plans for code of conduct for the month of July until training camp begins?
I will also be taking a break. I'm going to recharge. Gotcha. The experiences over the last month and change since the shooting happened on Jefferson has really honestly thrown me quite a bit. So I haven't really been able to focus. I haven't really been able to keep up on a lot of things. And so I just kind of need to recharge. And I know that, you know, you all will miss Joe and myself for a month, but I promise you when we come back, we'll be back and better than ever. And hopefully I'll have my mind right and things will be good, but we'll absolutely need this break, both of us.
Yeah, I said Jerry Orosky, it's Jerry Ostrowski, my bad. So yeah, I don't know why I mispronounced that. But yeah, ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into the Hump Day Hotline on the Buffalo Rumblings Vodcast Network. My name is Joe Miller, and that's Jay Spencer King. And I'm going to let you do your little tagline because I love it, and I love hearing it.
Y'all know how we do it over here. Y'all take care of each other, love each other, and live in peace. And as always, stay positive, test negative. Go Bills.
Go Bills.